Good afternoon, everybody. So today I'm joined with Barry Selby. He is a renowned author, relationship guru, and he is empowering individuals to heal their heartbreak and embrace a fulfilling love. Barry, you're very welcome on the show. Please tell us a bit about yourself and how you ended up on this extraordinary journey.
I'm not sure we'll have time for the whole thing, but I'll give you the brief highlights. I'm originally from England. I lived in LA, California for most of my adult life now. I didn't start out in this field. I mean, I've had several careers because I was looking for the right job. The work I do now is really what's been pulling my heart and what really was transformational in my own life over many years of being in the personal development field. And also the multiple relationships I messed up along the way that gave me clues that I wasn't doing the right thing. That's the succinct way of putting it.
Oh,
That
very
answer?
good. No, that's very good. I was thinking that was my third question to ask you today. Was it a heartbreak that you had that brought you down this journey?
Yes.
Because yeah, the best healers that we have are people that have been hurt along the way. So I'm assuming the best from a relationship guru would be similar. What did your friends and family think when you started off and decided to do this as a career?
Well, my family never really understood me since I moved to California, frankly.
Too crazy for them.
And it was funny because just a slight sidebar. My parents both passed away
Sorry to
several
hear.
years ago. My father passed away in 2021, but he was always a hard taskmaster. He was always like, unless it was an A plus, it was only okay. So when my book came out, which came out in 2013, so just over 10 years ago. He was very begrudgingly proud of me. It was very interesting to hear that, And so when I and it's funny because I didn't send him a book initially. He was only finally after he nagged me a couple of times, he said, "Fine, I'll send you a book," sort of thing. So I sent it to him. And his complimentary praise was, "Not bad."
That's a good thing for your father, biting the
He
tongue.
best. High praise indeed, But to go back to your previous question about what inspired me to do this work and be involved in this work, as I've been in, say, been in the personal development field since the mid 80s. And even though I learned all these things, and even though I was getting really masterful in all these skills, I still messed up my relationships. And so there was kind of me going, okay, what am I doing wrong? What's the, there was like, let me investigate this. And the thing was, is that over a period of about 10 years, I had three relationships that end up the same result, the same breakup. I should say the way that breakup happened, I got a clue, like subtle hint the first time, similar hint the second time, a blatant hint the third time. It's like, okay, that's my stuff to work on.
Wow.
And what it was is that I've always been attracted to very strong women. I love women generally, but I found myself attracted to women who were very much in their strength. And the last relationship I had, she came up to me because I was in leadership in a volunteer organization and loved the fact I was in charge getting things done until we started dating, because I basically became the nice guy and defaulted to her leadership, and she didn't want that. She wanted me to stay in charge. That whole paradigm of leadership and what I now look back on as being masculine feminine dynamic, but at that time I didn't know what that was. So that breakup was the impetus, like a sledgehammer over my head, to look at what I was missing, what was I not understanding about relationships and being a man? Because what I didn't know to that point was I had two perspectives on what being a man was to me: either being a macho man like my dad, and not macho like machismo, but more like stiff upper lip, keeping it together, don't show emotions, getting things done, like don't show weakness type thing, was one side. The other side was the nice guy, which I had been through most of my teen years and adult years, because I was in the school where I was beaten up and bullied by the other boys. So I found safety amongst the girls. And so I was with the nice guy because I didn't have the predatory nature in me to sort of, pursue the women, to chase the women. I just was in a place where I was nice to them. And I've had more women friends than men friends my whole life, because that's the way I've been. So in a relationship, what women wanted, I discovered looking back in hindsight, was a man who was neither one of those two things. But I didn't know what the third option was. And after that breakup, when I was like, okay, I need to figure out what this is. I can't be a macho man, because that's what I felt she was looking for. It was like her grandfather had been, was a real like get things done, make things happen type guy, but had no real heart and passion. And I didn't know how to do, I couldn't turn that off in me. So thankfully, with a couple of months of that, I met this woman out of the blue who I knew I'd talk to. Now, I wasn't comfortable talking to this good-looking woman at the time, but there was like a neon sign over her head. She was glowing. Anyway, that led me to these teachings about masculine, feminine polarity, which I at that point never heard of before. But when I did hear it and started listening and started practicing, I was like, this is what I know is true. That I learned for myself that what a masculine man is not a macho man. It's not necessarily a nice guy. It's a man that embraces heart and clarity and direction with authority, but it comes from a compassionate place. And frankly, that was everything I knew I needed, but I'd be ignoring some of those parts. So from that point forward, my life has been forever changed. And also part of that journey, I discovered the magnificence of the feminine in women. And just to sidebar for a second, masculine and feminine polarity are things that we carry in both. We all carry in those masculine, whether we're male or female, whatever gender we are, because we carry both. It depends on what we're doing and how we act. So when I saw women in their feminine embodiment, when it was a group of them, because it was a workshop we were in with 50 odd men, 50 women, that power of that feminine energy was overwhelming. I just knew that was my focus for the rest of my life. So I've been dedicated to that purpose in my work ever since.
Yeah, so you could totally resonate with it. And if we were to read your book, because obviously the first thing that's alerted my head now, I want to know more. I grew up having brothers and I've always been more, and it's not a sexualized thing. It's just I genuinely always feel much more comfortable around the males than females. But it's because my father was a male, my two brothers, three brothers are all male. I didn't have sisters growing up. And even though I go out, I'm quite elegant, you know, I'm independent, but I do have that strong masculine energy. I know I have it inside me. And I always knew where it came from growing up, and it's very hard to reiterate that to someone that perhaps doesn't understand. If we were to read your book, what would we expect to learn? Would we understand this? Would we learn about the feminine and the masculine energies in your book?
In my book, which is called 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, which is 50 principles of healthy relationships, it's really how to navigate the area of relationship from your own perspective and also how to be in the world. So the 50 principles are really self-reflective. And there are a couple of chapters that speak to the masculine, feminine, energetic, but really from cursory point of view, because I reference in my book other authors I highly recommend and other teachers I've worked with who I recommend to do that work more specifically, because my work's more inclusive than that. So my book is really the relationship you have yourself, including your relationship with your history, the relationship with your future, the relationship with the world, relationship with how you navigate the world. So that's what you discover in my book.
Well, that's beautiful, and it's nice to hear that there is a book out there that has these things in it. Do you find now that you have so much knowledge and you're going obviously into a new relationship, you don't want to repeat the same things as before? Do you find that you may slip into that old paradigm and then you kind of nudge yourself to come out and say, "Oh, no, I'm wiser." Because I feel when people fall in love, that's why they call it falling in love. You know, there is a weakness about it because we are blind. I mean, we're all guilty of being in the wrong relationships and perhaps putting up with things that we wouldn't usually put up with. And it's great looking back, but at that time, we're in love, we think they're great, and it weakens our personality.
2020 hindsight's wonderful when it comes to this.
I
And
agree.
absolutely. Now, just also in the area of transparency, I've not been in a relationship since I started doing this work since 2006. So I've been single since then. So basically almost 18 years. And the reality is that what I've discovered for myself is I really have a healthy relationship with myself and I don't need a relationship, which is one of the biggest gifts, by the way. When you realize you don't need a relationship, so you can choose one, is probably the healthiest place to be. But the other part is that because I do know what I know and the work I've been doing and what I'm passionate about is that any woman I want to be with has to be additive to that experience for me. That's a bottom line minimum.
Your
Because,
standards are a lot higher. Good luck, ladies.
well, not much higher, just more refined. Well, let's
Of
put it that way,
course, you know what you
because I don't
want.
want to say that I'm stuck up and that, because being that's not the way
No,
of
not
working.
at all.
But the thing is definitely I have met many women over the years who have unfortunately worn their issues on their sleeve, and that may be because I've been so refined in my my awareness and my noticing now, is that when I meet somebody, it can be pretty quick that it is all they've got some stuff in the way that I don't want to deal with. Because the thing is, I don't want to be in a relationship with a woman who's going to be my client. That wouldn't be appropriate,
No, that's fair. Yes. And you can
So.
see these things and how they manifest. I had I had a lovely gentleman on a couple of days ago, Joseph Maguire, and I was just saying, when we go into a career of any sort, whether you're a psychologist or a relationship guru, it's very difficult to kind of put that aside and not hit the partner that we're with the book. Oh, you've bipolar. Oh my gosh, that's definitely signs of such as,
Right.
you
Yep.
tend to do it, but we can't out knowledge is power. It's key. So
That's
before
true.
we actually start recording this conversation, Barry and I were just talking, and Barry was explaining to me that a lot of his work in his career, it's kind of like the law of attraction. You're preparing single people to be mentally ready for relationships, as opposed to taking a couple in and fixing something that is perhaps broken. Can you explain a little more about that and that journey and how we got onto that, please?
Well, the things I want to say, it's not just mentally, it's emotionally as well, because it's really about being prepared in the sense that you are not carrying around a lot of wounds and baggage into your next relationship. Because saying that the law of attraction works, whether you believe it or not, because you don't believe it works, it still works. The thing is that if you choose relationships that are not the ones you think you want, there's a clue there, because that relationship that you're in is likely to be matching some sort of internal attraction characteristics you're carrying without realizing it. And so it's you wish it's it is wishful thinking saying you want to change it without doing the work to change it. You've got to be a different person internally to be ready for the next relationship. So if, and I said before, like my last three relationships had the same pattern throughout, but it took me three of them to figure it out. The sooner you get there, the better. I'm just saying from experience, because I wish I'd done it the first time, would have been healthier, but that's what it required. And I'm thankful. In fact, I'm thankful each one of those women, because they gave me so many gifts along the way. And in fact, what the last one who was the most pivotal, I haven't seen her since we broke up. If I ever see her again, I would actually thank her, because it was because I would say almost because of her, I'm doing what I do now. In fact, I've become who I am now, and I've also healed so I can become who I am now. So to speak back to the law of attraction piece, we are magnets no matter what. We are magnetic. That's who we are as humans. We attract things into our lives. And as much as people are going to be pained to hear this, if you what you're attracting in your life, whether it's the right, whether it's the money or jobs or people or family or relationships or whatever it is that aren't what you want, there's feedback there. That's a clue. That's an indication that perhaps your internal wiring is not lined up to where you want to go, because the results you're getting aren't what you want. And that's the good news, because I talk about work, that the first step is always awareness, is to notice what it is that is or isn't working, and then you can act accordingly. But if you're not, if you're oblivious to that, you just keep blundering along the same way you've always done without knowing what you want to do differently.
Would you find yourself dropping a client if they do not have the awareness, if they are just stuck in their paradigm? Don't, and for those of you who don't know what a paradigm is, if you're not in the personal development field, sometimes we don't know it. A paradigm is a multitude of habits and something that we follow in our life. But would you drop a client because they're just not aware?
Well, the thing for me is, if the client's not willing to be aware, then yes.
Yes.
If they are not aware, and then when I show them something, they go, "Oh my God, now I see differently," or "I want to do this," then it's like, wonderful, we can do some work together.
Well, that
So
must
it's
be
not a
so
lack of awareness,
exciting.
it's a lack of volition for the awareness to change.
That's good. And I heard you say that it's in the 80s you started personal development. I'm just curious. I love personal, anything personal development, and I am an avid reader. What was it that you were into in the 80s? Who was the big?
Well, the programs I was in weren't specifically led by a particular teacher until the 90s and 2000s. That's when I found the teachers I really started with. But the work I was involved with, the seminars back in the day, the ones I started with are called Insight Seminars, which was a stepchild or a spiritual sister of Lifespring, which was back in the 80s, was one of those seminars that came out way back when. And Lifespring, I think, grew out of either Landmark, which excuse me, came out of S, because S was the first one back in the 70s, that then became the Forum, then it became Landmark. So it's evolved over the years.
That's
Those
interesting.
trains never drew me in.
I was just telling my friend, I brought my mother and my little brother to the Landmark Forum in Ireland many years ago. They were going, well, my mum was going through a tough part, and I just thought it was amazing because they do it for kids, they do it for adults. And I actually brought my mother to help her, and I end up coming out roaring crying. And I got the most healing, I think, from that seminar.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing I always recommend is definitely do the work that fits for you. I mean, I've had so many different experiences over the years, including I've got a master's degree in spiritual psychology from a program that's no longer around. That was a university in court that was around for 30 years. They just closed
Wow.
their doors about 3 years ago. I think,
Oh, wow. That's
keep
very
track of that.
traumatic.
Anyway, so that's part of my background. But then I said, because of the transformational experience I had after the bad breakup, that's when I started discovering teachers like Warrior Sage out of Vancouver, which is Satyan Raja, David Deida's work, Alison Armstrong's work, John Gray's work. These are people who I look at as being leaders in the work of masculine, feminine, male, female conversations. In
That's really
fact,
interesting. I've never heard of those. Would you mind after this podcast sending me their name so I could please look them
absolutely.
up?
Well, a couple of quick things. If you haven't heard of John Gray, he does the Mars and Venus books. They've been out for many, many years.
Wow.
So he's one who started this talk conversation probably 30 years ago. And he's got different books around Mars and Venus, Men from Mars, Women from Venus. That was his whole paradigm. And then while studying with David Deida, who does well with masculine and feminine polarity, and Alison Armstrong, God, dearly, she is really about women become women honoring their queen and honoring their self as a queen, men as being the king. There's certain, it's not like royalty, but it's about that benevolent leadership in our own lives, in a sense, way I put it. But there's also, and this one I say, you can go, your listeners can go check this out on YouTube. There's a minister, I discovered this years ago. He's got a video that's online from like 10 years ago, maybe longer, by a man named Mark Gunger, Gungor. He is a preacher or a minister somewhere back east. I'm gonna say like South Carolina or something. I don't remember, it's been a long time since I watched it. But he has a video that was a teaching to his congregation called The Tale of Two Brains. And it's basically for his congregation about how men and women function differently. In that, I think it's about an hour and a half, 50 minutes long, and he's got little segments. It was a prelude to a weekend training he gave to his congregation that is not public, but that piece is. But he has on stage these two, like, 3 foot high pillars, columns, and on top a little skull. I mean, not a skull, but like a phrenology head, like the psychologists use, with the white porcelain head with all the markings on it.
Yes.
One of them has lipstick, one doesn't. So it's men and women's brains. And he breaks some things down that are so fundamentally obvious, but so silly. Just a quick aside, he talks about how men and women think differently, because we do. Like just masculine and feminine energetics. Masculine energy is more directional and focused and more linear, whereas the feminine brain is more expansive, more opening, more inclusive. So when you ask a man a question or woman a question, we don't respond the same way, which is one of the things that's important to recognize, that when you're communicating with someone of the opposite sex, the odds are likely the answer you're going to get back is not what you expect, because it's different the way the wiring is inside. For
I
example,
don't know how we ever get into relationships.
it's a big question on that one. So for men, the thing I remember he talks about is that if you ask a man a question, because the way a man's built, it's like all the thoughts are in discrete boxes in a big.
Very analytical.
Say again?
It's very analytical. Men are more analytical,
Yeah.
women are more
But
emotional.
also more isolated, like separate thoughts distinct from each other, all in the boxes, don't touch each other. You ask a man a question, it's like it goes in his brain for that one box with the answer, takes the answer out, gives it to you, put it back in the box and puts it away. Nothing else. But a woman's brain is more wired by connection tip by connection. So a woman's brain is like one long thread, everything's connected. So you ask a woman the same question, when she goes in to answer the question, she brings out the answer with 17 things tied to it. So a woman's answer to a question is much more complex than a man's answer to the same question, usually. And that's because we're wired differently. I mean, it's a very interesting visual to understand, but it's
That's,
kind
I
of how
like that
we think.
analogy. I like how you've put that because I'm always trying to explain that. That's, I like that analogy. I'm going to have to play this to my husband so he
Or
knows.
Mark Gunger is the guy's name. You find him on YouTube. It's got to be out there.
Yes,
I mean, years old. I mean, it's old. It's grainy. It's like, it's not like the wide format of a YouTube video. But his teachings are just hysterically funny, and it was so on point. That's why I love using it as a reference.
I like that. And thank you so much for sharing it. And just
You're
before, I know
welcome.
I'm just conscious of your time, Barry, and I know that you're preparing another book, getting it ready. So I would like to know, what is the strangest situation that you have faced in being a relationship guru? So that you came up and it just was like, wow, okay, this is a strange one. How did you combat
That's going to get me thinking for a while.
it? Very
I mean,
thought-provoking question.
well, it's the biggest. Not strangely one, but one of the most challenging ones is, and I'm just going to bring this to the top of my head from recent experience. A guy I know who's done a lot of work as well, different teachings, some teacher overlap in mind, but he does not follow the same teachers I follow very clearly. And sometimes has a bit of a chip on his shoulder about that. Some things I talked about online, because we haven't seen each other in person for a couple of years, his viewpoints are so negative to what I talk about. And I've had to really sit with that and go, okay, rather than attack him and defend myself nice enough, I just go, where is he coming from? And because there was somebody in the middle asking questions who I know as well, a woman in this post that we had, I decided to respond to it from a much more centered place. It took me a moment to sort of regroup, because the challenge for me sometimes is when somebody is so, in my mind, on a different level or a different wavelength, or is, quote, wrong in my book, the temptation to fix them or correct them is very strong. I have to really overcome that desire because it's built
Urge.
into me, you know? So it's like having deference and being more, let me be responsive versus reactive, which I've been talking about for the last 2 years in my work. Is like, how do you shift out of that reactive automatic response where you end up making more damage versus being responsive, where you can consider and give a more elegant and ideally constructive answer? And I had to practice myself, which is kind of great in a way, but it was definitely, oh yeah, let me remember what I teach. You know?
Yes, yeah. Well, it's good that you come back to it and you're aware of it. You know,
Oh,
that's
yes.
a sign of what is the famous quote? If we don't, those who think that they know everything really know nothing, or you know, what sometimes it's better to be taught of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So no, you
Exactly.
go back and you research it. Tell me this, Barry, if the listeners wanted to get hold of your book, where can we get it?
My book's on Amazon. It's also on my website. Again, it's 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. You can find it on Amazon under my name. There is another book brewing, as I said. That actually is based on two chapters I wrote for two other books that I'm part of. That one's come out, and it's one came out in 2018, and then the new book I'm actually finishing production on myself comes out next month. And then when that's done, finally I can get that out of the way. Then I'm going to take what I wrote in this book and expand it to my own book of my own teaching, because what I wrote in the new book is such good stuff. I know it's good, but it's only one chapter, so I've got to take it out and use it and expand it out. And it's all about the relationship with self, which I've been talking about for a while anyway. So,
Elaborating it. And do you ever stop and say to yourself, am I afraid of getting into a relationship, or are you just no?
that question has been asked of me more than once. So yeah, I've asked myself, yes. No, not a trade, except that I'm not ha not willing to settle. That's, and I hope nobody, and also I would say, I hope nobody is willing to settle. But for me personally, because again, the work I've done, and I know, because like some of the stuff I've workshops have taken and teachings I've been involved with aren't around anymore, I can't look for a match in the exact same thing. But as long as the person I meet has her own evolutionary path she's been on, and she's grown, and she'll learn lessons, and she's healed things, and she brings to the table things that match and don't match what I have, then I'm interested.
Then you're interested. Okay, very good. Barry, thank you so much for coming on to the show. I could stop and listen to you all day. Hopefully we'll have you on again sometime during the future, and best of luck with
Love it.
everything.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm glad to be here, and good luck with everything you're doing too.
You very much, Barry. Thank you.